Well, here we are again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Welcome, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for honoring our Lord and coming together around His Word. What could be more important than that? Nothing. The Lord says that He magnifies His Word above His name, and if God thinks that highly of His own Word, that He would put His Word above His name, what do you think He wants us to think about it? Of course. And here we are. So we're going back into our study of resurrection, which is the second study in the letter R in the ABCs of Christian Growth, study number 18A. And I think we've got about four lessons into this study so far. This will be the fifth. And the last study, what we talked about was how resurrection is accomplished. How resurrection is accomplished, and also we talked about proof resurrection is based upon. Now, we know that resurrection, that no man has any power having to do with resurrecting anything, bringing anything back to life. Man does not even have control over life at all. Man can take vitamins and maintain life, as if you will, but as far as having life, making life, creating life, bringing life back from the dead. Man, are you kidding me that a man could do something like that? Hogwash poppycock. Anybody tells you that they're powerful enough to do that, say, show me. I'm standing here. I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see it. You know, there are things that are going to happen during the tribulation that the enemy, that the devil is going to give power to a man to be able to do things that are going to, but that's for deceitful reasons. That's for trickery. That's for lies. The Lord says in His Word that no man is able to do things like that. And how resurrection is accomplished, remember what we talked about? By the power of God, by God's power, and by the very voice of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's words coming out of His mouth when He was in the body here on earth are God's power coming out of His mouth that it makes things happen having to do with life. He told Lazarus, come forth. And He did. And He did. And by God the Holy Ghost living in us. And if you have God the Holy Ghost living in you, the Bible says that you are alive unto God now. Your spirit has been made alive again. You've been born again. Born of the Spirit. That which is of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is of the flesh is flesh. You've been born of the Spirit. You've been made alive again. When you was born out of your mother's womb by water, and you come out of your mother's womb in that fleshly body, you were dead spiritually. Your spirit was dead. When you became born again, and you were born again by the Spirit of the living God, by God the Holy Ghost, He came into you and quickened your spirit. And quicken means make alive. He's the only one that has power to do that. You know anybody can do that? You know any human being that can do something like that? I hope not, because you'd be fooled and deceived, because there's no man that can do that or has power to do that. No man. And I'd like to see one, and I'd like to see him do it right. I'd tell him, do it right now. I won't see it. But you know, the Lord doesn't do that. We walk by faith, not by sight, and the Lord doesn't do things like that anymore. He done them during the book of Acts and things like that, but that was for Jewish reasons, and we can go into all that on other studies and things like that. But things like that don't happen now, and no man has power to do that. Today we're going to go into a different portion of our study, and it has to do with resurrection's nature. Excuse me. Resurrection's nature. Well, what about resurrection's nature? Well, it's incorruptible. The nature of life in the body and natural life and corruptible life that we live in a body that is dying. We live in a terrestrial body that is in a world that is decaying and dying and getting worse and worse and worse in spite of all your smart people out there that say everything's getting better. Man's getting better. Man's getting smarter. Man's getting this. Man's getting that. The world is getting this. We're going to Mars. We're going to the moon. We're doing this. Everything's just turning wonderful. That's a stinking hogwash bunch of bag of lies that you ever heard in your life. Is that what you really see going on? That's not what's going on in the world today. That's not what's going on with your body. That's not what's going on. Things are dying, man. Entropy is having its way. Things are wearing out. The world is wearing out. The sun's wearing out. Your body is wearing out. Your mind's wearing out. Everything is wearing out. But when it comes to resurrection, now we're talking about resurrection that is by the power of God, by God's power, under His power, these things apply. It's incorruptible. There's no corruption in it. The Bible says when Jesus died and His body was put in that tomb, that it did not corrupt. If somebody crucified you and then your body went in the tomb tonight, by 30 minutes after, probably still hanging on the cross, your body would be hard as a rock. It'd be corrupting. Your blood would be coagulated. Everything about you would be decaying. Your body would just be corruptible. But when it comes to resurrection of the power of God, under the power of God, and in the realm of the power of God's resurrection, resurrection is incorruptible. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 40 through 42 say. Listen to this. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Now listen to this. It is sown in corruption. In other words, things die. They corrupt. They go away. They get worse. They die. Not get better. It is sown in corruption. It says, so is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Can't die anymore. Incorruption. It can't corrupt. There's a difference. The power of resurrection under God's power is that when resurrection takes place, that whatever it is that's resurrected is incorruptible. It cannot corrupt. Isn't that wonderful? That's why the Lord said that if we're still alive and alive when He comes at the rapture to get us out of here and get the church and the bride out of here, when He comes to do that, it says we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Did you hear that? Isn't that wonderful? Resurrection's nature is incorruptible. It's incorruptible. What else is it? Well, it's glorious. It's glorious. It's something to be had. It's something that's going to be wonderful. It's glorious. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 43 says, it is sown in dishonor. Death is not an honorable thing. It's not. There's nothing honorable about death. It's corruption. It dies. People lose family. You lose friends. You lose life. Life goes away. There's nothing honorable about that. It's sown in dishonor. But it says it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. People are talking about being so strong and I'm just going to lift weights. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And then you're going to die. And you're going to wear out and you're going to get weak and you're going to die. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. You see that? The nature of resurrection. Resurrection's a wonderful thing. Because God's in control of it, and God has the power behind it. See, that's what I love about our God, is because our God says these things to us, but yet he backs it up because he's got the power to prove what he's talking about and to carry it out. And aren't you glad of that? Resurrection, it's glorious. It says it's sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. What else? Not only is it incorruptible, is it glorious, but it's spiritual. It's spiritual. There's a difference in living in this body. When we live in this body and we have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, that's the spiritual side, but it's completely different than this flesh. And when God the Holy Ghost moved into us, he circumcised our flesh from our body, from our soul and spirit. And our body is separated now. Even though we're living in it, it's separate. It's separate. It can't be affected. Our spirit and our soul cannot be affected by this body. But resurrection is spiritual. Listen to what verse 44 says there. It says, not only is it sown in dishonor and raised in glory, and sown in weakness, it's raised in power, but he also says it is sown a natural body. In other words, that's what's planted in the ground, a natural body. Nature, your natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. The Apostle Paul told us about that whenever he went up to the third heaven, was caught up to the third heaven, you remember? He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He knew that there was a body there, but he couldn't tell whether it was a natural body or whether it was a spiritual body or what kind of body it was. But resurrection, the nature of resurrection is spiritual. Now, we don't understand that right now, with exception of God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us and us understanding spiritual things by him. We don't know what our bodies are like, our new resurrected spiritual bodies are like, but they're fashioned like unto the glorious body of Christ. Christ said, feel me. He said, a spirit don't have flesh and bone. He didn't say blood. He said flesh and bone. But it was a spiritual body. But it was a resurrected body that Christ had, but it was a glorified body, a supernatural body, a body that could go through solid objects, a body that could go to heaven and come back in a matter of day, a matter of hours, as a matter of fact. Whenever he told her not to touch him, he left, and between that time, he went all the way to glory and all the way back and went through hell even, and then came back, and then they could touch his body. You see, that body's completely different. The Bible says it is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. The nature of this resurrection body is a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Why do we believe that? Because the Bible just told us that is so. There is a natural body. We're wearing one. And there is a spiritual body. Your body's not going to be the same. When Jesus comes, when you die and that body goes back into the dirt, you're going to be with the Lord. Or either Christ is going to come and he's going to say, come up hither and rapture us out of here. And that body that you have on you is going to instantaneously change. And you're going to it's going to be changed into a spiritual body. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. What else? Well, we're talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about resurrection. We're talking about resurrection's nature. It's incorruptible. It's glorious. And it's spiritual. And what else? Well, it changes things. That's the least we could say about it, isn't it? It changes things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, listen to this. Behold, I show you a mystery. This thing about this body, this physical body that we're wearing and the one that the Lord says we're going to get is a mystery, man. Paul said it was a mystery. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But he knew when he came back and he got up out of that rock pile and he was walking back into town in that old body, he knew what that body was about, but he couldn't tell about the body that he went to the third heaven in. He knew there was a body there, but he couldn't tell us anything about it. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Changed. The nature of resurrection and the resurrection body is that it's going to be changed. Things change when resurrection's involved in it with the power of God behind it. That's what makes all these liars and these fakes out here talking about resurrecting people and people. I've seen a video where somebody over in Africa, some hotshot over there, had somebody laying in a casket in front of a million Africans around there and sitting there doing something, tapping him, and this guy was laying there in this casket as if he was dead, and he done some kind of hocus-pocus stuff over him, and the guy come out of the casket like he was waking up and resurrecting and put on a great show. But the problem is that when a real natural body dies, they would have kept that casket in a closed form because he would have been stinking. That body would have been corrupting, and his flesh would have, the worms would have been eating that body. And let's see you bring somebody back from that, Buster. And he'd done that in front of all them people, and all them people went nuts as if he raised somebody from the dead. Now, that's just how foolish and stupid people are, falling for stuff like that. There's no power behind that. No man has power to raise anything from the dead. He can't even get himself out of bed every now and then. He can't even get himself glorified. How's he going to get anybody else glorified? How's he going to get anybody else spiritual? How's he going to get anybody else changed? He can't, because he doesn't have power. There's no power, resurrection power, in any man. Man don't have God's power. He don't have power to do the things that God can do. God's the only one that can do that. Man can't change himself from corruptible to incorruptible. Let's see it. Let's see it. I'll be first in line. Show me that. You know who I'm trusting in to make me incorruptible? Jesus Christ and the Word of God and God's power. It's going to be glorious. Resurrection's nature is going to be glorious. It is glorious. It is glorious. Imagine all the pain and suffering that you go through as your body ages and it gets you older and older and older and starts wearing out and everything else, and we're trusting our Lord and everything else. And if we have to go to the grave, we go to the grave and we die and we go through death and we experience that. But we have promise that it's going to be glorious. And that God promises us that he's going to give us these bodies back, and they're going to be glorious. And we're going to wear a glory, a glorified, incorruptible, spiritual body that has been changed, and not have to worry about it being sick, not have to worry about any blemishes, not have to worry about a bunch of wicked blood flowing through it. Your spiritual body's not going to have no blood in it. Explain that one. That's another study all in itself. But spiritual, blood is part of the problem. What else? What about resurrection nature? Resurrection nature, it changes things. Yes, it does. Well, what about it? It's bodily. It is a real body. The nature of resurrection is a real body. It's not something voodoo or woo, like a vision or a appearance or something. It's a body. It's a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44 says, "It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. It's real. You can touch it. You can handle it. That's what Jesus told them disciples when he appeared in that room. He didn't knock. He appeared. He came in there. He said, "Touch me. Handle me." They thought they seen a spirit. He said, "I ain't no spirit. I'm spiritual, but I'm not a spirit. Flesh and bone, it's not a spirit." spirit's not flesh and bone. It's bodily. It's a real body. Aren't you glad God promises us that? Resurrection's nature is bodily. It's bodily. What else? Well, it's powerful. We talked about that just on our last lesson also, but it's powerful. Resurrection's nature is powerful. You imagine how much power is really... You can imagine what them people were like when they were standing around, Martha and Mary, and standing around Lazarus's tomb. Excuse me. Standing around Lazarus's tomb, and all the people standing around, and the Lord said, Father, I pray to you. He said, but I'm only praying because of these people standing around here. And I know that you hear me already. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine the power that was exemplified right there by Jesus Christ in the body, the Son of God standing there, and him just speaking them words, and everybody just standing there and heard him say them words, and all of a sudden, here he comes floating out of that tomb. Now, you either believe your Bible or you don't. That's what says happened. You say, well, what do you mean he was floating? Well, it said for the Lord, he was in his grave clothes. He was all wrapped up. He couldn't move. But some was moving him. And when he came out of there, the Lord even said, untie him, loose him, let him go. It's powerful. The nature of resurrection has God's power in it. You don't know any man that has any kind of power like God has. Bunch of deceitful, hocus-pocus, card trick kind of garbage that goes on in Christianity nowadays, pretending this and pretending that and putting on a big old theatrical show. Got no power in it. It's got a lot of deceit in it and theatrical and laughs and woo, yay. But it ain't got no power in it. Those people are standing there watching what Jesus done. They said, we've never seen anything like this before. It's powerful. Resurrection's nature is powerful. The nature of resurrection is powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43 says, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it's raised in power. In power. Now, that's the kind of power I want my God to have, and I know he has. He's shown me that power in He's shown me that power through his kindness and his love and his discipline and everything else that my relationship with him has been thus far. He's shown me his power. I'm sure I haven't seen even just a speck of it, but I know that it's a power that no man has, and it's a power that's not natural here with a man and with mankind. Man is here because of that power. In the beginning, God. And God spoke, and it was so. It's powerful. Resurrection we're talking about. That's what we're studying. Resurrection. Not only is it incorruptible. Its nature is incorruptible. Its nature is glorious. Its nature is spiritual. It's a nature that changes things. A spiritual body is not going to be anything like this body that we wear now, a natural body, this terrestrial body. And it is indeed a body, the nature of it. It's bodily, and it's powerful. What else? Well, it produces a new heavenly image. Resurrection does. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 48 and 49 says this, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Our bodies ain't going to look like they belong to the earth. It's going to look like a heavenly image, a body. Resurrection makes things look heavenly. They put on heavenly image. They put on the image of heaven. They put on supernatural look, if you will. New, glorious, spiritual, changed, not weak, but powerful, not dishonorable, but glorious. It produces resurrection. The nature of resurrection produces a heavenly image. You're going to like your new body. You're going to like it. I like who the Lord's turning me into, don't you? The Bible, he's not going to get started changing you. When you got born again, the Bible says that he started conforming you into the image of Christ, and he's going to continue to do that until the day of Jesus Christ. And he's been doing that. Don't you like the changes that the Lord's making in you? You ought to. You ought to be glad about the person that he's turning you into. Because it's going to be heavenly. It's going to be a heavenly image. And when you get that body, and when you've been resurrected spiritually, and that puts on a heavenly image, God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you and changing you and changing you into the image of Christ, it produces a new heavenly image, the nature of resurrection. What else? Well, it produces likeness of the angels of God. You always wonder what angels look like. What angels this? Well, when you think about angels, and there's a study specific for that in the ABCs of Christian growth named Angels. And you ought to go study that if you want to know more about angels and what the Bible says about them. But when you think about angels, the safest way and the best way to think about angels is think of them as appearances. As appearances. They appear. They appear. And you'll understand what I mean when you go to study that about angels. But it produces likeness of the angels of God. Angels of God and what the Bible describes angels as has nothing to do with these little naked, curly-headed, winged, fat babies sitting on clouds playing viols or violins or whatever you call them, or women with long golden hair and wings and all this sort of thing. That's not angels. Nothing to do with angels at all. Nothing. You ought to get in that study. Well, if you hadn't already been through it, but there's a study on angels there that'll go through it and it'll tell you what the Bible says about it. And some of the things are just not what is spoken in the world today. That's why we love our Bibles and we study what God says, is because things can get way out in left field if you're not looking into God's words about things. And angels is one of them. Now, nature of resurrection does compare it. It produces the likeness of the angels of God. Well, what do you mean? Well, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30, it says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Now, that part is in that study, and it goes into detail a little bit more about what that means and everything, but it's in comparison to angels and the way that angels are in heaven, the resurrection. Talking about resurrection and the nature of resurrection, it produces likeness of the angels of God. In what way? Well, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So whatever the angels of God are like is what this resurrection is going to produce. the nature of resurrection is going to produce an image that is comparable to the angels of God and what they're like. And the Lord used the example of marriage. And there's other things, but I won't get into that right now. But that is part of resurrection's nature, is that it ain't like these angel, this angel, I don't even know what the portrait of angel that everybody on earth and mankind comes up with. The Bible says be careful not to entertain angel unaware. In other words, you could entertain an angel, a real angel, entertain an angel and not know it. Now, do you think of a little fat, winged, curly-headed, naked baby with a vial that was sitting on a cloud, that you wouldn't notice that? You think a woman with wings and long golden hair and real bright clothing and this and that and the other, you don't think you'd notice that? The Bible says unaware. You don't know you're entertaining them. Whatever you're looking at, you've seen before. And it doesn't surprise you to be looking at it or entertaining. It's unaware. You don't know you're entertaining them. You don't know you're talking with them. You don't know you're feeding them. You don't know they're there, but you don't know it's an angel. Angels are appearances. They appear as things and people, and mostly men, young men. That's what an angel is in the scriptures. When you get into that angel study, you'll find more out about that. And we'll go over that. And I think it's already recorded. And if you want, you can go to barnhouseministries.com and click on angels and listen to that study, or either read it and go through it and fill it out and fill in the blanks and study your Bible about that. Find out a lot more about angels. But the nature of resurrection has to do with the likeness of the angels of God. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful. What else? Well, it fashions bodies like Jesus Christ's glorious body. And we talked about that a minute ago. But isn't that wonderful? I mean, out of all the people and all the persons in creation, to become like and to be fashioned like unto, who else... The Lord Jesus Christ's glorious body, the very body that he took on, God took on in the flesh, was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years in that body, and sacrificed it on Calvary. It did not corrupt. He was raised from the dead and resurrected, and it never rotted, and brought back to life and glorified. And he's living in it now. God the Son living in that body. And we're going to have a body like him. That's what the Bible says. Listen to what it says in Philippians. It says, who shall change our vile body? You see that? That's whoa right there and pause right there. All you people running around and with your low-cut dresses and your high-cut dresses and all your little tight clothes and all your this, that, and the other, flaunting that body and trying to show that body off like it's something. You know what the Bible describes that thing as? It describes it as vile. Look that word up one day. Who shall change our... Paul said his was too. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. God's able to do it. All he got to do is speak the word, and there you are, you're changed. And he said, we shall be changed. That's what he said. We shall be changed. So what have we talked about? We've talked about resurrection's nature. Resurrection's nature. It's incorruptible. It is glorious. It's spiritual. It changes things. It is bodily, literally bodily. It's powerful. It produces new heavenly image, a new heavenly image. It ain't going to be the same as this vile thing that you're walking around in now, trying to keep alive. It produces likeness of the angels of God. And it's fashioned, it fashions bodies like Jesus Christ's glorious body. The nature of resurrection is the God's power behind it that's going to change this vile body into a glorious body like unto our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful, wonderful, wonderful is that? And we look forward to it, don't we? Can't wait. We got everything to look forward to, brothers and sisters. And this resurrection is one promise and one thing that the Lord has made through His sacrifice. He has brought about. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. So there we go. I think we'll stop right there. And we're about almost 40 minutes into this study, which is no big deal, but I just don't want to get in a rush about talking about this resurrection. It's very so important, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful study. Resurrection's nature. Well, let me give you the scriptures. Let me read it to you one more time about what we've talked about today concerning scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 was where we got most of our verses from today. The Bible says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, so also the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body and raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able also to subdue all things unto himself. Amen. All right. Well, here are the scriptures for this this study today. Resurrection's nature. Isn't it wonderful? I think it's wonderful. I think the nature of resurrection is wonderful. We got nothing to be scared of. No fright, no fear in God's power behind it and God's favor in it and glorious and spiritual and being changed for nothing but the best, the better, the best that it could possibly be. I mean, who could build a body like God couldn't build a body? And it's going to be an everlasting body, an eternal body. An eternal body. So here are your scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40 through 42. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43. And then verse 44. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. And then some of these repeat themselves because of what we was going down through there. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44 again. Verse 43 again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 48 through 49, and then Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, and the Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. And those are the scriptures for our study on resurrection today. Brothers and sisters, we have everything to look forward to when it comes to this matter of resurrection as far as being saved and a child of God and working in this body that we're in right now, which is a vile body and is wearing out, and we are to work for the Lord and do the things that are pleasing in His sight, and to try to get people saved, and try to encourage our brothers and sisters to live for Him and glorify Him, and to do the things that are right in the body that you're in now, and not to be doing ungodly and wicked things with that body, but to be doing righteous and holy things, presenting our body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, the Bible says. Using that body to give our Savior glory and to get His work done here before He comes and things come to an end. And that's our business. And studying His Word, just like we're doing right now. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we'll stop right there. The next thing that we're going to get into, get back into our study of resurrection on our next time that we come together. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ specifically. We knew that that was going to come up, and I'm glad it is, but just going to narrow things down and talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ specific, and not the variations of resurrection and the whole outline of resurrection, but just narrow this thing down to resurrection of Jesus Christ specific, and then move on from there. So we'll talk about our Lord and His resurrection on the next one, okay? And get into that. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I appreciate you and love you with Christ's love. And thank you for minding the Lord. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.